And as we sit, shall we pray? Father, I pray you would take the faltering words from my lips, and by your Spirit and by your presence amongst us now, you would speak your words of life into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When I spoke to Roger earlier, yesterday, and told him the gospel reading, I told him if anyone went to him and said, you read the wrong gospel reading, that was last week's gospel reading, that he was to send them to me. Because actually it was last week's gospel reading, and it is this week's gospel reading, and you can probably guess what next week's gospel reading is going to be. And actually, probably the week after as well. We thought a little bit last week about Matthew's gospel as I started, and we talked about Matthew being very precise and ordered in the way he presented the material that he'd gathered about the life of Jesus, the things he'd witnessed. This is the first major piece of teaching he puts at the beginning of his gospel. He puts it in first place. This sets the scene for all of the rest of Jesus' ministry. Last week we thought about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who know that God's in charge, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a manifesto for belonging to the kingdom. Those who belong to the kingdom will start to exhibit these characteristics if they stay close to God. Now, I'm not going to take these in order, because we've got a baptism next week, and there's a couple I want to think about in the baptism. So actually, for the other 2 weeks we're looking at the Beatitudes, I've managed to do that thing which is beloved of preachers, which is to pick the letters. I didn't do it on purpose, but they just seem to fall that way. So today we're thinking about blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are the merciful. You might have guessed that from the Reverend Fung cartoon. It's one of my. There's a few of those cartoons that make me laugh out loud when I see them. And that one did. You know, the meek inherit the earth and try to give it to one another. Is that what meek's about? Yeah, what comes into your mind when you hear the word meek? Timid. It's a very negative word in our culture today. Blessed are the doormats, for they shall have feet wiped upon them. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you wouldn't say it, would you? Oh, she's very meek. It would almost be an insult to call somebody meek. Surely that's not what Jesus, you know, he wasn't saying, you know, blessed are those who are a bit soppy and a bit nice and a bit, you know, what? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Thank you. The meek are those who know their place. They know where they stand with respect to God. They know that God's in charge. They know that they are not the rulers of the universe. That whatever they do needs to be in line with what God's about. The meek are those who have a reasonable expectation of their own abilities. They're not the sort of people that, we've all met them, who dive faithfully into a situation completely unprepared for the task ahead, completely unable for the task ahead. I have to say, no one would ever let me near a pair of secateurs and an expensive bush. I may be a gardener by name, but what I know about plants, I mean, when we used to do gardening in our back garden when I was growing up, my mum she wouldn't get any work of her own done, because I'd be there with my little tractor and the little trailer. It would be full of green things. Yeah. None of the weeds. The weeds were still in the beds. I'd pulled up the daffodils and the pansies and the whatevers. The meek know what they're not good at. But I come across a lot of people who don't know what they are good at or aren't prepared to say it. I'm feeling a bit mischievous this morning, so I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and tell them one thing that you're really, really, really good at. And I'm going to ask the person next to you to put up their hands if you didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's expectations.
Right. Are there any hands that have to go up? No, no, I was only joking. We're all good at things. Meek doesn't mean that you have to go around pretending you're not good at anything. Oh no, no, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, I'm not very good at anything, really. You know, I'll just sit here in the corner and be completely and utterly useless. That's not meek. We're back to the doormat again. Sadly, doormats are made as well as grown. People can be told over years and years and years, you're good for nothing. And so they end up looking meek because people just wipe their feet on them. That's not what meek is about. Meek is about knowing what God has told you. Meek is about knowing that God says to each and every one of us, you are dearly loved. Not for what you can do, not for what you will do in the future, not for what you've done in the past, but because you are you. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how important or successful you are. Nothing will make me love you more. Nothing you can do, God says, can make me love you more than I do. Because I love you with a love that embraces the whole universe. That's the heart of someone who is meek, who knows where they stand before God, who knows that in reality they are the smallest speck upon the smallest speck upon the smallest speck in this vast universe, but who also knows that they are a beloved child of God who cares about even the smallest thing that happens to them. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they will inherit the earth. There was another cartoon I nearly put up, but I decided not to this morning. And it was outside a courtroom. And there's a lawyer stood there, and there's this group of sort of quite smiley people in front of me. He said, well, the good news is you will inherit the earth, but the non-meek are going to contest. And inside the courtroom, there's these people like this. You know. There are a lot of people in this world who aren't meek. There are a lot of people in this world who look like they own the place. What Jesus said is it doesn't matter who looks like they're going to own the place. Come the day when everything will be sorted out, guess who's going to inherit? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Not the doormat. Not the self-effacing person who admits that they're absolutely useless at everything, but those who know where they stand before God. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus said, for they will be shown mercy. Now, there's a word we don't hear much of these days. Mercy. We hear a lot of do-good. Oh, do-gooders. About mercy. I want justice. That's the word we hear, justice. We want justice when a minister doesn't, like the Home Office, we want justice over this whole affair in the Home Office. Whichever side of the political debate you're on, people are crying for justice. We want justice when people are convicted of terrible crimes. We want justice for people like Saddam Hussein. We want justice when the electricity company charges us too much money. We want justice when somebody drops some gum on the pavement and we get stuck on it. It's not wrong to want justice. We talk about God being a God of justice. The Christian faith talks about a day when the whole earth will be subjected to God's justice. I really feel I ought to go up into the pulpit at this point and start thumping the side. For that was the great cry of some of the great preachers. John Wesley, and one great sermon, spoke, I don't know how long it was, probably about half an hour, about the justice and the judgment of God. I'd love to have heard him preaching on the justice and judgment of God, I really do. Actually, I'm not sure I would have liked to have heard him preach on the justice and judgment of God. I think it would have been quite uncomfortable, actually. And then, from the front of the crowd, a young man cried out, Mr. Wesley, what must we do to be saved? That was the moment John Wesley had been waiting for. Because he then spent the next, and I guess it was probably twice as long knowing what I know of the history of John Wesley, preaching about the mercy and the grace of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are those whose heart is in line with God's heart. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to take a large baseball bat and to beat us all around the head with it until we all behaved ourselves. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Blessed are the merciful, because they have the heart of God. God is a God of justice and of holiness and of righteousness, but he is also a God of mercy and grace. You've heard me speak from Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace? I'll carry on talking about it because it is the most amazing book. He talks about the outrageous mathematics of grace. And I've used that phrase here before as well. The outrageous mathematics that says, no matter what you've done, if you truly come to me, God says, I will show mercy because of Jesus. Jesus spoke about showing mercy and what it meant. The parable of the two servants, the one servant who owes, I can't remember what the modern equivalent is, £100,000 to his employer, and he can't pay, he's destitute. And he goes to his employer, and his employer's about to have him thrown into jail, debtor's jail. And believe me, even if you think today's jails are holiday camps, jails in those days were certainly a lot less than that. It was probably pretty much a death sentence to be thrown in a debtor's jail. And he said, no, please, show mercy. Let me have a chance. And the master showed mercy and he cancelled the debt completely. £100,000, red line through it. So the servant walks out, goes down the road, spots someone who owes him a tenner. I haven't got any money, give me what you owe me. But I haven't got it. Well then, mate, we're off to court and you're in jail. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's again about the heart of God. It's about desiring justice, but letting justice hold hands with mercy. Again and again in the Bible, when you see the word justice relating to God, you see the word mercy hot on its heels. People often say to me, you know, but God is love. God wouldn't judge anybody. They take one aspect of God's character and expand it as if it were the whole of what God is. Other people do it the other way around. God is a God of holiness and righteousness and justice. And they expand that one aspect of God's character to cover up all the rest of what God says and does. So their God becomes very harsh and very critical. It becomes the bank manager that's always tapping on the table and pointing to your overdraft. It becomes a school teacher that's always pointing out the fact that you only got 3 out of 10 in the last spelling test. It becomes the father who stands at the door just... Justice and mercy hold hands when we speak about God. Without justice, there can be no mercy. Without mercy, justice is devastating. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus said, the measure you use will be used against you. I don't think that was about payback. I think that was about how our hearts are affected. If we don't show mercy, if our hearts are not showing mercy, then they become hard. They become brittle. They become leathery. Unable to allow anybody in, even God. So when then God offers the hand of mercy, No. I know what God's like. God is a God of justice. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, because their hearts are in line with God's heart. They know the demands of justice and holiness, but they also know the demands of grace and mercy. And then finally, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I think I've probably taken about, I can't remember the exact numbers, I think it must now be about 180 funerals since I was ordained. And that's 180 funerals in about four and a half years. I usually use the words from Romans at the start of a funeral. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the past nor the future, nor powers in heaven or any power can separate us from the love of God. But there have probably been about a dozen occasions when I've added this line in: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. For to me, this is a statement of hope and faith. Those who mourn are those whose hearts are open to others. We mourn the loss of a loved one. We mourn the loss of a relationship. We mourn the loss of a job. We mourn for many things. The loss of a child to an unhealthy lifestyle. We mourn all these things. We mourn because we love. I know of no one who has mourned for a job that they hated. I know of no one who has mourned for someone they didn't know. You can't mourn for someone. You can be sad. But that deep sense of loss and sorrow comes because of love. I sometimes think it's one of the prices we pay for love is that we mourn. If we didn't love, if we were completely protected from the love of others around us, we wouldn't mourn at all. We'd just go around completely oblivious to the heart of other people. But we mourn because we have loved. We're sad when things that we've loved, situations that we've felt deeply committed to, and people that we love have finished and come to an end. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says, for they will be comforted. It's a very definite word, will. In my past life as an engineer, I often had to write specifications for some of the equipment that we built. And I learnt very quickly the differences between words like will and shall and could and may. This piece of equipment may be capable of doing this. This equipment will be capable of doing this. And in the engineering terms, actually, shall has a slightly different meaning. It's about it being measured against that. So this equipment shall be capable of doing this, and I'm going to measure to make sure it does it. Will is a very definite word. There's no maybes about the word will. I will finish soon. Well, at least before lunchtime, anyway. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus will send the Comforter. I love the fact that that's one of the names given in Scripture to the Holy Spirit. The presence of God Himself is the Comforter. The one who comes alongside and puts their arm round and says, I cry with you. What can I do? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Because mourning takes us to a place where God perhaps can reach in. It amazes me time and time again when people who are in that place of grief actually draw so much closer to God than those who are in a time of joy and happiness. I would have thought it would have been the other way around. So many times we hear stories of people, how can I believe in God when he allowed this to happen? But again and again I see people who are drawn closer to God in their grief and in their sorrow. Because actually they realise that that's the only place where there is any comfort, is in the arms of God. The Christian message, again, words I use at almost every funeral I do. The Christian message is that Jesus came to this earth to share our joys and our sorrows, and to offer us hope both now and for eternity. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will find in the depths of their sorrow the heart of God beside them. The Spirit of God with his arm around them, and the Son of God with tears on his face. Blessed are the meek, those who know their place before God. They will inherit the earth. Everything will be given to them because they know their place before God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Their hearts will be soft and open to God's mercy being shown to them. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I read some words a week last Thursday. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth, had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the voice of God say, now the dwelling is of God is with men, and I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is the promise that we have, the promise of God present with us. Amen.